It's time for Fresh Oil with singer-songwriter and pastor Keith Manley, a program designed to minister the gospel of God's grace and to bring fresh oil to the brokenhearted. And now, with today's program, Pastor Keith Manley.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to Fresh Oil. I'm your host, Keith Manley, and today we wind up the series I've been teaching on the seven letters to the seven churches found in the first three chapters of the book of Revelation. I love the book of Revelation. I've taught it verse by verse for many times in the church that I've pastored for over 40 years now. And today we come to this last letter of the seven, and it's the church of Laodicea. It's the lukewarm church. And I shared with you the seven churches in Revelation. Although they were written to specific churches in Asia Minor that were in existence at the time this letter was written and dictated by Jesus to the Apostle John, it also represented seven historical periods found throughout church history. Seven is God's perfect number. It's his number of completion. And Laodicea represented the final period of church history that's often understood as the modern church age, that from the early 1900s to the present age, where I believe we are living today, which has been marked by spiritual complacency, by material wealth, and self-sufficiency. And it's the only church in Revelation that Jesus has not one good thing to say about it. Now, yesterday we spoke about the Church of Philadelphia, and in the Church of Philadelphia, he had not one bad thing to say. But in this church, he has not one good thing to say about them, because that's usually the first way he opens up after he identifies himself with a part of the vision that John saw in the first chapter of Revelation. He then goes on to say what's good that they're doing, and he could not find one good thing to say to the church in Laodicea. Let's begin today with verse 14 of Revelation chapter 3 and take it verse by verse. To the angel of the church in Laodicea. Now, I shared with you the word angel is a Greek word here that meant messenger. He was no doubt speaking about the pastor of that church who would be the God's mouthpiece to the local church. To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So Jesus introduces himself here as the true authority. He says, he is the Amen. That's the final word spoken. Jesus has the final word. He's the final authority of the unchanging truth of God. We find this in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 16, where it says, whoever invokes a blessing in the land will do so by the God of truth. He who takes an oath in the land will swear by the God of truth. This is how our court system began swearing by, so help me God. For the past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes. Jesus introduces himself as the true authority. These are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. So he's the Amen, the final authority. He's the faithful and true witness. Unlike the Laodiceans, they were lukewarm. They were compromised. But Jesus himself was faithful, and his testimony was reliable. And he referred to himself as the beginning of God's creation, or the ruler of God's creation, the New International Version says. We need to see that Jesus is the absolute truth and the only source of life and purpose in our lives. Verse 15, where he continues, he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. We are living in the age of technology. Most homes today have an Amazon Alexa app or a device in their house where they say, Alexa, and you say that in my house, no matter what room you're in, and it'll talk back to you and tell you the weather or tell you whatever you want to know. And I've had people say, oh, Keith, that's awful. Do you know they're listening to what you're saying? I'm like, first of all, if they're listening, they're not going to hear anything that would bother me. But, you know, so many times people don't realize there's a God who listens. He hears everything. He sees everything you do. And he says to this particular church, he says, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. They were lukewarm, see? Cold is refreshing, like cool water that satisfies a thirst. And hot, it can bring healing, like hot springs and restore the body, or a heat pack that I'll put on my back if my back is sore. God's saying, I wish you were either cold, you could bring refreshment, or you could hot, you could bring healing with the heat. But he said, I wish you were either one or the other. See, Laodicea was a city that lacked its own water supply. They had to pipe in water from Hierapolis, which had its hot springs, and Colossa, which had cold, refreshing water. So all the water in that city had to be piped in. And by the time the water reached Laodicea, it was usually lukewarm. It was unpleasant. A perfect metaphor for their spiritual state. Jesus was telling them, you're like that water that you have piped into your city because you don't have any of your own. Are we spiritually passionate today about God? Do we bring refreshing truth when people come across our path, or have we become lukewarm because we're comfortable or complacent? God teaches us that that is useless. What's the cause of lukewarmness? I believe it's because we become self-sufficient. We think we have everything we need, and that's America today. He said in verse 15, I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. Now look what he goes on to say. I wish you were either one or the other. Verse 16, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Have you ever taken a drink of water and you thought it was going to be cold, refreshing water, and it had sat there for a while and it was so warm and you just spit it out? That's what God says he's going to do to the church at Laodicea. It's time for a reality check. He says, you have self-deception. He goes on to say, so because you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Look at verse 17. You say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. You talk about a reality check. Jesus tells them here, he uses very strong language. First of all, he says, you're wretched. You're blind. You're naked. They were the exact opposite of what they thought they were. See, with some historical background, Laodicea was wealthy because it was the center of the banking industry in that day and textile trade. They had this black wool that they were known for, and they were famous. And they also had a medical school there that produced this eye salve, a famous eye salve that would be used all across Asia. And Jesus exposes their false security. He says, you think you have everything, but you're lacking what matters the most. You're lacking spiritual riches. You're lacking vision. You're lacking righteousness. You say I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Today, friend, are we placing confidence in material wealth, our social standing, our status, our self-sufficiency? Or are we trusting in Jesus Christ and depending upon Him for our salvation? Now in verse 18, he's going to give counsel to this church. And this is so important, friend, because I believe this is representing the church that the church age we're living in today. He says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear, so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes. How interesting, because remember, they were known for producing a special eye salve from their medical school that Laodicea was so known for. And God's telling them, you need to buy from me salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Wow, so important. They needed gold refined by fire, talking about true spiritual wealth that comes from faith and testing. He told them they needed to buy white garments. This is the cure to reverse the path that they had been on. righteousness in Christ. Those are the white garments, replacing their self-made garments of worldly success. See, the Bible tells us our righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. And we needed the eye salve, that spiritual vision, to uncover the blindness with the truth that God wants them to realize. Jesus challenges their economy. He's saying, you think you're rich? You're really very poor. You're missing the things that matter the most, because the things that matter most aren't things at all. It's a spiritual relationship with God. And now he gives them a call to repentance in verse 19. He says, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Jesus disciplines those he loves. This is a reminder that even in judgment, there's grace. He says, be zealous and repent. See, lukewarmness has got to be replaced with zeal and a change of heart. In verse 20, he says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Have you seen the picture where Jesus is standing at a door knocking, and you notice that there's no door handle on the outside of the door? It has to be opened from the inside. That famous picture was painted from this verse. Here I am, Jesus, standing at the door and knocking. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. Friend, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's knocking at the door of your heart today through this radio program. He's asking to come in to your life and to be a part of your life where you can have intimacy with your Creator. Have we pushed Jesus out of our churches today and out of our personal lives? He desires true fellowship with us. And then in verse 21, he gives that great promise to the overcomer. He says, to him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Now, it's so important that we understand, even to this church that represents the church age we're living in today, the church where he didn't have one good thing to say about them, even to that church, Jesus still offers grace. He still gives an invitation for them to repent. He still gives a promise, because out of that church, there will still be a group of overcomers. Jesus offered a seat on his throne, the greatest reward of intimacy and authority with him. Then he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Will we overcome our spiritual complacency today and reign with Christ? Will we let go of the lukewarmness that we've had in our churches and in our lives? God's calling to us today to repent and to come back to him. Hey, this has been a wonderful series, as I've taught the seven letters to seven churches found in the book of Revelation, the first three chapters. It's been a great time here on Fresh Oil. Thank you so much for joining me, friend. Walk in grace. God loves you with an everlasting love.
We are excited to announce the release of Keith's new book entitled, This Is My Story. Available now on Amazon.com for only $9.95 in paperback or $14.95 for hardcover. You can also order the ebook for your Kindle. This book is filled with stories telling the defining moments in Keith's life and career. In this book, Keith takes you on a journey from his early days as a gospel singer touring in CCM music to a pivotal moment when he faced a serious health challenge, as told in a chapter entitled, God Don't Waste Pain. Through his experiences, you will be inspired and challenged to embrace the story God has uniquely planned for your life. Order today on Amazon.com. Just search Keith Manley, This Is My Story.
Thanks for joining us today for Fresh Oil with Pastor Keith Manley. Fresh Oil is an outreach of Grace Family Church in Rockford, Illinois, and can be heard each weekday at this same time. You can reach us online at weneedgod.com. Until next time, remember, God's love for you is unconditional. He makes His mercies new every morning.